stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Moses spoke these words when the people were backed up against the Red Sea. And God is going to use the Red Sea to heal them. God is going to use the Red Sea to heal them. God is going to use the Red Sea to heal them. Now I have two ways I can go with this scripture. I can ask you that since we don't have a Red Sea here and it's over there, we're going to have to all fly over there, stand next to it, and then I'll stand up and say, "Fear not, be still, see the salvation of the Lord," which is dumb. Or we can stay right where you're at and see, what are you afraid of? What is the problem? And everybody has spiritual, emotional, and physical manifestations of those problems. So I need a Red Sea to heal with, just like Moses did. I guess I'll just use your blood. Let's use your blood as the Red Sea. Do you know why the Red Sea is called the Red Sea? It's actually called the Reed Sea, and it comes from the fact that it's completely engulfed with red seaweed. And really what it was called, the Reed Sea, the fact that it was also red, finally it was shortened to be called the Red Sea. But it started out because it was reed, seaweed. Seaweed is very, very nutritious, highly nutritious. And that's why the red cells in your blood carry the feeding mechanism. They feed you. They carry the nutrition. But the word, that's what red means. The word sea means a roaring surf or a large river, a large noisy river. Bloodstream, I guess we could call it, for what you and I talk about. And of course, when you listen to the blood, you listen to the heart, there's that unmistakable pounding, not of surf, but of the heart as your bloodstream courses through your veins, doing something for you. Well, doing what? Exodus 14, 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. God's going to use red water to fight for me. Somehow that's got to fit. At first I said, "Lord, how are you going to do this? I'm preaching on blood cleansing us. I don't know what to do with this one, Lord. The Lord shall fight for you." I envisioned angels coming and out external things happening. And so I looked up the word fight and I said, "Well, Lord, you know better than I." So I looked up the word fight, and it means to do battle, to devour, to overcome, to prevail, to make war by consuming. In other words, it means a specific kind of fighting, a fight in which the enemy is consumed. Well, consumed how? Three ways. Fight or consume means to destroy as by fire, there's fever, to absorb completely, there's the white blood cells, and then to do away with, which is the plasma that then, with the help of your colon, your liver, and your kidneys, does away with the Egyptians. So literally, this kind of fight means to first destroy something with fire, then absorb it completely, just latch onto it, absorb it completely, just like the white blood cells, and then get rid of it. I thought, well, wow, how does this work? Well, I looked up the word devour, because that's what fight means, consume. It means to swallow it whole. And a blood cell, a white blood cell, the minute it isolates the bacteria, the enemy, What it does is it swallows it whole. It absorbs it completely. And then what it does, it then lets all the toxins, all the disease, everything that's wrong with that bacteria is absorbed by the white blood cell, and the white blood cell does not react. You can't, you don't feel sick. It's the white blood cell that takes all the sickness. Just like Jesus did at the cross. Said he became sin for us. All our infirmity, all our diseases, all our sickness was on him. And actually he was bruised also. So if you have a physical problem, not only internally from a bacteria or virus point of view, but he took our bruises as well. He was beat for us. So if you have a something that doesn't work because of a blow or something that doesn't work, this will work for that too. It says the blood will swallow it whole. This Red Sea, what did it do after the Philistines or the Egyptians got in there and the nation of Israel was through it? Engulfed them. It white blood cell them to death. It swallowed them whole. It devoured them. Devour means to consume and destroy with devastating force. It means to burn with fire. Fire means a destructive burning. It means extreme suffering or distress that tries the endurance. In other words, what this does is it's what the blood cell says is, I will take all that you have to offer. I will take the complete onslaught of the bacteria, puts itself between you and it. And the way that it does it, it doesn't kill it like just destroying it. What it does is it says, you do what you're going to do to Reuben, you do it to me. So then this bacteria loses all of its strength because it infuses all the toxins, everything that it has, it shoots it all into the white blood cell, and the white blood cell says, didn't bother me any. I'm not going to react, and I'll prove that to you in just a minute. It's absorbed completely. Now, I'm telling you this to tell you that without the blood of Christ working this way in your life, you wouldn't be a Christian today. But without your blood working with you in your body this way, you're not going to be a victorious Christian today. You have a blood problem. And part of that problem, when your blood isn't cleaned this way, when it doesn't absorb everything that's wrong, whether it's a bacteria or a bad idea, when it gets to your brain, it makes you think wrong. And that's why people say, well, brother, I don't understand why I decide to do this and it goes good for a while and then I find myself doing the same thing again. You got a blood problem. It's a physical problem that's a physical manifestation of a spiritual problem. You need to absorb this completely or it will absorb you completely. Now we look up the word absorb to see how does God fight for us? Well, he absorbs what's attacking us. In other words, he literally takes the blows and does it his way. He takes it all in. See, he doesn't stop bacteria. He doesn't stop the devil from attacking because there's freedom. He's given this world to us. He said, I'm not going to stop you, but whatever you're going to do, I'll take the blows. I'll take the poison. I'll take it all. You see how important it is for you to treat your blood right?
Amen.
You see why it's important to you that I preached ever since you've begun the physical manifestations of all of these things and how Satan gets you to work against yourself physically so that the spiritual rights that you have are negated by the fact that you have hurt yourself physically and you have neutralized the blood's power to help you physically. This fighting for you means God wants to absorb completely your Egyptians. What's chasing you? Absorb means to take up fully the whole attention, the whole energy, or the whole time of something. Now let me tell you something. When that bacteria, when that problem, when that disease, when that trauma, when that worry is taking up your attention, your energy, and your time, you're acting like you're the Most High. You're acting like you're the sacrificial lamb. And all in the world that's happening is you are trying to fight off what God said, I will fight. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You see, we can't, God's fair. He's not going to get in there and both of you fight, one or the other. So now God says, I want to take up fully the attention, the energy, and the time of Pharaoh and his soldiers. Well, for you and I, that means God wants to take up fully the attention, the energy, and the time of whatever's bothering you. See, there really is no excuse for you not to do your work. There's no excuse for you not to do it on time. There's no excuse for you not to do right, because God has given you a way that everything that's wrong with you, He will take up fully the attention, the energy, and the time of that thing, whatever it is. That's the way your blood works. That's the way it's programmed to work, programmed by God to work in you physically. Now, why would God program you spiritually to work differently than you work physically? So if I can prove to you that physically this is the way it works, then the God that created you physically must work the same way spiritually, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So now this absorbing, this fighting that goes on, really goes on internally. But see, we also have another situation. You tell me in counseling what the problem is. And guess who's attention, energy, and time it takes to find the answer. Not yourn. It falls to me, doesn't it?
Right.
I'm the one that then gives and devotes, and my attention, my energy, and my time is taken by what's bothering you. That's the spiritual manifestation. So you see, God said, I've got you covered on all levels. If it's bothering you spiritually and emotionally, I've got a white blood cell that will absorb that thing completely. He'll put up with you and not react. You can do and say whatever you want. He's not going to get mad at you. He's going to take the full brunt of that. It's going to take His time, His attention, and His energy, and you go about your business and go ahead and keep doing right to your wife and your children, and don't use this as an excuse not to do what you should do. So you see, God says, I've covered you. Let me fight for you. Hold your peace. Absorb means to take in and assimilate by assuming the burden of. Now, can't you see that at the cross, Jesus Christ took everything that's wrong in the world, took it in upon Himself, and He assumed the burden of everything. And what did He say about the people that put the burden on Him? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Can't you see that our blood is a perfect type of Christ? Do you think it's an accident that Jesus Christ acted a certain way and then programs our blood to work in our bodies the same way His blood works in our spirit? How could it be a coincidence? And yet, you know as well as I do, there is no preacher that I'm aware of that I've ever heard, and no doctor that I've ever heard, that ever had the sense to put the two together. Why? Because they've never gone to the Creator. You think this little building that we have here is just a convenient place to come? Let me tell you, one day, you're going to realize what a blessed thing happens in this little room. And you're going to realize just how blessed you've been. And if for no other reason, think back of all the years you spent not hearing anything like this. And you think it's just something automatic, that just there for the taking if and when you want? Look how many years you did without it, friend. Don't wake up tomorrow and find that it's not available to you anymore. It can go just as quickly as it came. It came because you asked for the truth. and it will go when you say, I don't want the truth. And some of you are very dangerously close to saying, I don't want to hear that. I can see the dirty looks that you give the blood. I can see the reactions by the way you act toward me and about the things I say, because it takes up fully my attention, my energy, and my time. And I assume the burden of it, by the way. And I'm not doing that to say anything good about myself. I'm just saying that that's a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ working in your life. Because if it was for me, if it was up to me, I would sell your blood. That's what I would do. I wouldn't try to fight for you. I'd sell it. That's all you would be good for. There must be something else going on inside of this room. There must be something else going on inside of this temple and inside of those temples. It must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Absorb means to take in with little or no reaction. See, you cannot have the blood of Christ when something happens and immediately you start reacting all over the place. The blood of Christ takes it in with little or no reaction. You can stay calm. The blood of Christ in your pastor takes in everything you say and do with little or no reaction. Sometimes a little reaction, which to you seems like a lot of reaction, but no, it's little or no reaction. If I had my way, I would have parted your hair with a shovel a long time ago. But the Lord says, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, like you didn't know what you were doing. I say, oh, you explain it that way, all right. Absorb means to take in and not reflect. Now understand this, when your white blood cells absorb completely, cover off the bacteria, they have to take it in and not reflect it. If they reflect it, it's going to be right back in your bloodstream again. So the only way they can protect you is to let it literally expend all of its energy on the white blood cell and not prevail. That's the only way it can do it. Just like Jesus did at the cross. He took it all and it didn't prevail. So what I'm trying to tell you is how God fights for you. I'm trying to tell you that it isn't a battle like you think it is. It's a very simple thing, and it happens right inside of your system. Now, let me prove to you that white blood cells, the Red Sea, your blood, the blood of Christ, all work the same way. Now, this word fight says, swallow them up, consume them, engulf them. So now we go find out, well, what do white blood cells do in the blood? White blood cells are called leukocytes. Their principal role is to protect the body against infection and to fight infection when it occurs. The Lord shall fight for you. Coincidence, right? Same word. They fight infection when it occurs. Now, in this leukocyte, it's broken up into three parts, three main types. Granulocytes, number one, monocytes, and lymphocytes. Three, just like there's three of you, three of God, three in the leukocytes. Now, I'm going to home in on granulocytes. They're also called polymorphonuclear leukocytes. Yes. Polymorphonuclear leukocytes. Now, that's what granulocytes are. Now, these granulocytes, which are part of three, come in three parts, called neutrophils, basophils, and eosinophils. Of these, the most important by far, which makes up 60% of all the white blood cells, are the neutrophils. They're the ones we're going to home in on. Now, they're responsible for isolating and killing invading bacteria. Now I'm going to tell you how they do it. The action of neutrophils in swallowing bacteria has led them to being called phagocytes or phagocytes, which literally means engulfing cells. They literally engulf, just like the Red Sea engulfed. They absorb and they kind of just wrap themselves around that that's bothering you and kills it by taking all its energy, drawing all its energy into itself and therefore protecting you. You say, well, Reuben, you've gone a long way to make that connection. Well, let me turn to Psalms 21:7 and let's see if I can bring it just a little closer to where you live. Since you're so migratory, though, pinning you down where you live is kind of tough to do, but we'll try. Psalms 21:7. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies, isolates the enemy. You don't even have to figure out what's wrong with you. You don't have to figure out what's wrong at work, what's wrong at home. You don't have to do all of that. It turns to the blood to decide that. And the problem is, most of the time, you try to figure it out. And then we talk about it, and 10 times out of 10, you figured it wrong, didn't you? Because he says, the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies, all those little bacterias in your lives. He said, thine hand shall find them out. You will isolate them. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Everything and everyone that's against you, says the right hand of God, will isolate who they are. It means you don't have to fight with anybody anymore. You don't have to try to figure out who's trying to do this or who's not trying to do this. He says, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. And then once he isolates those that hate thee in your bloodstream and in your life, look what happens, my God, in verse 9. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven. Fever. You make it hot for the bacteria. You make it hot for the people that are out there trying to do in your life something to hurt you. We have one lady in the church says, this guy was making it hot for me. So it became like a fiery oven for him, and he got coloned out. He's gone now, or on his way out. Remember the lady here that said, this guy's giving me a bad time and trying to get me fired, and he quit. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. Isn't that a perfect example of what happens to you inside in your bloodstream? The Lord shall swallow them up. Now we got white blood cells. So first there's fever. First there's isolating what's wrong. Then your fever comes up to start making it hot for them. And then the white blood cells come and swallow them up to absorb everything that's wrong with them. Now, men, let me tell you something. When you come home, your wife's had a bad day. She's acting like a total jerk. Can you absorb all of that without reacting? Can you engulf all of that and take the whole brunt of it and not react and therefore heal her in the process? If you could, you will have learned a valuable, valuable lesson. And let me tell you something. If you could do that externally for your wife, your blood can do that internally for you. And that's why you're always snotting and have something wrong with you, because your blood doesn't work right. So now he says, you're going to find out who they are. Then you're going to treat them with fever like a fiery oven. And then the Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath. And the fire shall devour them. Now look at verse 10. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth.
Now, what happens in your bloodstream the minute your immune system isolates a certain bacteria? It starts manufacturing antibodies for that bacteria, which then gives you a prolonged immunity. Should another attack come, it's not even going to get in the front door because you already have your shot. You've had your shots. You've been immunized. So God says, I'm not only going to save you from what's attacking you, I'm going to save you from all their kids, from all their kin, from their seed. You're going to have prolonged prosperity, prolonged health. Why? Because you stood still, you held your peace, and you let the Lord fight for you. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. So the original sickness, the fruit, is destroyed from the earth, and their seed from the children of men. Which means not only do you not have it, but it says the children also. You pass it on. Your immunity now works for the children as well, because they're not able to make these distinctions yet. Maybe that would be a lot simpler than constantly be running for prescriptions and Kleenex. You know, if someone would discover a value, something to do with snots, do you realize you could retire just off your kids? Not to mention you. Why, you will have cornered the snot market. The problem is there's no value in it right now, but you do have a lot of snots. Verse 11, talking again about the bacteria, what's wrong in your life internally as well as externally. For they intended evil against thee. They imagine a mischievous device which they're not able to perform. Now, understand what God is saying. If you would just believe me and just sit back and let me do my work. I got a white blood cell here. We've got them outside. We've got them inside. And yes, I know there's a lot of things that don't look good, and I know they intend evil against thee. And they're imagining a mischievous device, but they're not able to perform it, according to God. Verse 13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. Now, if you remember, go back to verse 9, it says, the Lord shall swallow them up. Well, now we look up swallow again. It means to do away with by devouring, by spending up. God says, look, I'm going to spend up. What's wrong with you? Spend means to use up or exhaust. What's wrong with you, you're going to exhaust it. What's wrong with you, you're going to... See, that's why you're always exhausting. And incidentally, that's why you're always exhausted, because you manufacture it as fast as you can exhaust it. That's why you're always exhausted, because you're always exhausting. Isn't it amazing that when this happens, every opening starts exhausting something? Spend means to consume or wear out. God's going to consume. What's wrong with you? He's going to exhaust it. Exhaust means to drain it out, to empty completely. Exhaust means to drain of power and resources. Now, understand this. God said, my intention is for them to be exhausted, drained out completely, not you. By draining all their power and their resources, by letting them attack God, letting them attack your white blood cells. The white blood cells are more than properly equipped to absorb whatever's wrong. And I'll tell you something that I believe with all my heart. When you can deal with other members of the body, whether they're in this room or some other church, and I can drain them of power and resources by absorbing whatever they have to say, whatever attacks, whatever criticisms, and not respond in kind, not reflect it. What I say, oh, I'm so pious. And I say, thank you, Lord. My blood is just working right. If I can do that with a walking bacteria, what chances one of them teeny tiny little microscopic things have? They're not made in the image and likeness of God. You see, what I want you to understand, when you let people affect you and you cannot absorb what they have without you reacting, your initial problem is that's what happens internally as well. See, what I'm trying to tell you is I'm preaching to you for you to have total, complete health on all three levels. I'm not willing that you should be healthy just on two levels. I'm not willing to be healthy just on two levels. So when God says, blessed are ye when men will say all manner of evil against you for my sake. So what does that mean when I put up with all of this garbage? You think I'm stupid? You think God's going to bless me? He's blessing me right now. He says, Reeve, the reason you can do that is that your blood internally is able to do the same thing. That's why, son, you don't get sick anymore. That's why nothing, even when the symptoms come and you start hacking, before the sermon is over, everything's done. I've absorbed them completely. I took their best shot and I didn't reflect it, just like you do, son. Just like you do. I thank you that you did that, because it opened up the ability for me to do the same thing in your blood. See, God doesn't want us to be sick. But see, this is a partnership with God. You can't expect him to do it all. He's not your mother. He's your father. There's a big difference. Finally, exhaust means to make very weary and drain completely and thoroughly. Now, God's intention is that what's wrong in you be drained, weary, and completely and thoroughly exhausted. But how many Christians do you know who have switched that around? And that's why you need stimulants. That's why you are never going to get rid of sugar in your life. You are never going to get rid of those things that stimulate you, because you don't understand how your system works. You don't want to know how your system works. Fortunately, I don't care that you don't want to know, because I'm going to tell you anyhow. Go to 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. You're going to suffer in the flesh. I'm not preaching sickness now. Don't run ahead of me. Stay with me. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Well, now that sounds by itself like I'm preaching that, yeah, it's all right to be sick and God wants you to suffer in the flesh. Uh-uh. Go to 1 Peter 3:18. I'm going to tell you what God means here. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So he said Christ was put to death. Understand what this says. Being put to death. It didn't say he died. He was put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So he said, there's a parallel here. You need to understand, there's something happening with the flesh, and that looks like it's bad. But he said, Christ had this ability, has this ability that he can be put to death in the flesh, but is quickened by the Spirit. Well, now I said, well, God, Reuben, what does that mean? Thank you, because I asked the Lord the same thing. And immediately he took me to Psalms 22. I said, Lord, what is this dead in the flesh, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit? What does that mean? How can I make this work? What are you trying to tell me? Go to Psalms 22, 1, and quit worrying. Hold your peace. Jesus is my example. He's going to teach us how to do it. Psalms 22, 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what Jesus said on the cross. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am not silent. That's his flesh talking, isn't it? That's reality. He was hanging on the cross, beat within an inch of his life, and God nowhere in sight. The sun ceased to shine. God turned his back on him, and his flesh says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This doesn't look good. My God, the rent's due in 3 days. Why hast thou forsaken me? My God, my tires are no good. My shoes have holes in them. That's the flesh talking. And then immediately Jesus changed in verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That's the spirit talking now, isn't it? The flesh just had its shot. The flesh dealt with reality. Now the spirit's going to talk about truth. Thou art holy. How could a holy God let this happen? It looks bad, but I know one thing. My spirit knows you're holy. My flesh doesn't know. My flesh says, my God, the sun stopped shining. There ain't no help in sight. The cavalry, I don't hear no trumpets. Where's John Wayne? Oh, my God. That's the flesh talking. But the spirit turns right around and says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. See, Jesus remembered God's promises. He says, boy, it looks bad. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say that, and now my spirit's going to take over, and I'm going to talk right. Verse 4, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Jesus said, I know the history. I know what you did at the Red Sea. I know what you did for Abraham. They trusted in you, and you did not fail them. I trust in you. You will not fail me. Although it don't look too good right now, I've got to admit that. But the Spirit doesn't look at that. Verse 5, they cried unto thee, and they were delivered. They trusted in thee, and they were not confounded. So now Jesus speaks first reality. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he speaks truth. The flesh has its shot, and now the spirit has its shot. You know how many times Jesus did this in this psalm? 3 times. One for the soul, one for the body, and one for the spirit. So now we have circumstances, reality, and truth. Circumstances spoken by the flesh, truth spoken by the spirit for one third of you. So now in verse 6, God says, I know there's 3 of you. I'm going to take care of all 3 of you. So now we have more circumstances and more reality, more being put to death in the flesh. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Lord, nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. Rube, don't give me a break. Just once I try to slip and he just... Oh, yeah, that's what that means. And not even a word. And then I try to use some other word to try to say, that's not what that word means. You're using it wrong. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm a worm and no man and a reproach of men. I'm despised. That's okay. That's the flesh talking. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted him. They're making fun of me, Lord. I don't like this. My pride, if Jesus had that kind of pride, this would have made me feel bad. All my friends, my family, all the people I preach to, they're making fun of me. I'm being exposed in the flesh. This doesn't look good. It's time to be quickened by the Spirit again, isn't it? Verse 9, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. When I didn't have any way at all to feed myself, you provided a woman who fed me and took care of me and gave me love and raised me up. She may have done a lousy job, but you provided somebody. And a man that was willing to go to work and bring home money, even though he cussed me and he trained me wrong, he kept me alive. You've been in my corner from the day that I was in my mother's womb. I'm going to worry now? After all these years of you taking care of me, after all these years of showing your love to me when I was messing with drugs and I could have died, and somehow you dragged me out of there, and other friends went, and things happened, and somehow I got through the whole damn thing. God took me out of the womb. See, God knew a long time ago you were going to be saved. You're going to be sitting in this church. And all of those things that should have happened to you and didn't happen to you is verse 9. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. In other words, Jesus said, I don't care what they say. They said, oh, if God loves him, let him save him. Now, he trusted in God. He said, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there's no one to help save you. He said, I know you're going to help me. Quickened by the Spirit, being put to death in the flesh, like happens to us, but always having the presence of mind to be quickened by the Spirit, to say the right thing, and not keep voicing what the flesh says. Well, there's two. Two up, two down. One more to go. More circumstances, more reality. Isn't it amazing? You think this is all accidental, that numerically everything falls in place, and this three keeps coming up, five keeps coming up. Every time there's grace, there's five of them. Every time it's a new beginning, there's eight of them. Every time we're talking this way about people, there's three of them. All these, this Bible written thousands of years separate, what do they all have, some kind of long-distance line, and they were talking to each other when some of them weren't even born and the rest were dead, and said, I'll be sure you don't use anything but number eight when you're talking grace. No, there was an intelligence, an intellect, God himself, that fashioned this whole thing. So now we've got two down, two more to go, one more to go. We need more reality. See, because there's a part of you, your soul says, oh, flesh, what do you think? And the flesh will tell it. And then the Spirit says, And then now we've done this two times, soul, spirit. Now it's time for the body. Verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They're stronger than I am physically. They outnumber me. There's nothing that I can do in the physical. Verse 13, they gaped upon me, which means they opened their big mouths against me, with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. I hurt everywhere. Every joint in my body is out of place. I hurt. I'm full of pain. I'm poured out like water. I don't have much strength left. My heart is like wax. There's not much to hope. I'm melting. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. This is the man part, the flesh part of Jesus talking. And he's telling the truth. Physically, that's the way he felt. Physically, that's the way that white blood cell feels when it takes all that in, man. There's a battle going on. And incidentally, that's the way I say, Lord, how much longer am I going to have to do this? And he says, as long as it takes. Oh, all right. So now we go back to the story. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. I don't have much hope. I'm depressed. I don't even want to go on. I don't see any hope. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. I don't want to talk anymore. I have nothing more to say. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. This is as low as I can go. Dogs have compassed me. I'm surrounded by dogs. Backward gods, by the way. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. I'm surrounded. I don't see any way out of this. I don't see any way out of this financial problem. I don't see any husband. I don't see any wife. I don't see any subjection. Everywhere I look, all I see is problems. I'm surrounded. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and they stare upon me. Say, what are you going to do now? Thou art my garment among them. They part my garments among them,
and cast lots upon my vesture. They've written me off. They're already dividing my belongings. I'm not even gone yet, and they're fighting over what I'm going to leave. That conjures up some memories, doesn't it? Not even gone yet, and they're casting lots. He gave me this. She said I could have this. That was mine. This was their intention. I can't tell you how many times I've been through that with families where they start fighting like a bunch of dogs, and the person's not even put away yet. Barely gone in some cases. They cast lots upon my vesture. That's as low as you can go. I said, Lord, they've written me off. The only thing they value of me now is these rags that I'm leaving behind. I've made no impression upon them. They've run out on me. They're ashamed of me. They're denying me. One of them sold me out. The others ran out. And one of them's denying me all over the place. That doesn't look good. And then comes the truth, the quickening of the spirit for the third time, verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog, the darling being your soul, your ability to think, your ability to reason, your ability to be rational. He said, deliver my soul. That's my darling. That's what sets me apart from all the animals. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. It doesn't matter what you do or how it looks. I am going to still tell people, God is true. You will succeed. Sickness will not prevail. Death will not prevail. And God is God and God is right. I'm going to tell that to my brethren, regardless of how it looks like me, even though they're laughing at me right now. And a little church you have, and says, maybe a little church, brother, but let's you and I sit down and talk, and just to see how little the word is that comes out of this church. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Well, God didn't do that for me, and I said, I don't care. That's your flesh talking. I'm telling you, God's going to do that, just like Jesus did. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. Now God is saying, look, I can give you this advice with the Spirit. And look where I was at when I gave you the advice. Hanging on the cross, full of cancer, arthritis, rheumatism, all the joints, all the bones out of joint. Every kind of pain there is, every kind of internal, physical, mental problem, every kind of depression. He took everything to the cross, and he said, now, here is where my spirit can still say what I'm telling you. And you say, but Lord, I can't because I didn't have enough money. Give me a break. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction. You tell me what the flesh says, I tell you what the Spirit says, and after a while, counseling is over, because you're going to stay with what the flesh says. I do the same thing in the sermons. I'm telling you, he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he crieth unto him, he heard. Now, all in the world that Jesus is asking you to do is follow his example, and you don't even have to go to that extreme. Look what the man put up with. And then he says, now to prove to you that you're not alone, inside of you, where you say, oh, where does Jesus say? Well, Jesus is inside of me. Well, where? Ask a preacher somewhere, who's Jesus? If he lives inside of you, and they're going to tell you, in your soul, in the temple, in the tabernacle, and then, in other words, I don't know. With just a little bit of research, just a little bit of asking the Lord, he says, he's right there in your blood. Right there, that white blood cell. That's the way Jesus was on the cross. Can you see the correlation? He absorbed it all. He took it all. And you see here, he's acting like he's sitting in the living room somewhere and everything's fine. And yet in the process, he was absorbing every sickness, every affliction, every disease, my sin that I haven't even committed yet. At that time, he was already absorbing it. And look what he was reflecting, pure love. He wasn't affected by it at all. And that's all I ask you to do. I know what hurts. I know even where it hurts. All I'm telling you, isn't it about time that you start being quickened by the Spirit? Psalm 22:25. I'm going to finish this up. My name, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. That's Jesus talking. He said, everything I promised, I'm going to pay what I promised before them that fear him. Not before them that fear, before them that fear him. He said, I'm going to pay my vows. I will not be a deadbeat. I'm going to pay. Verse 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. You won't have to constantly be struggling with food. You won't constantly have to try to find some way to satisfy the appetite, satisfy the stimulation, and satisfy the scale too. He said, you'll be able to eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Now there's a statement, well, how can your heart live forever? I took it upon myself, the Lord led me. When I saw that, I had read, because I read all the time, of a man who did an experiment 40 years ago in a California college, university, by the way. And he took the heart of a chicken embryo. And he proved, and this was over 35 years, that by nourishing that embryo, that heart properly, and draining it properly, it existed for 35 years. And the only way that it finally stopped, this is it, we've proved the point, let's stop the experiment. The only thing they had to do is slice away parts of the tissue periodically, because it would have been as big as a house eventually. In other words, 35 years is several lifetimes for a chicken. In other words, this man proved that a chicken heart, properly nourished and properly drained, can exist forever. Your heart shall live forever. This is a medical scientific fact. The only thing is, they thought they discovered it.
Yeah.
And I happened to stumble onto it in Psalms 22:26. Verse 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Wouldn't it be great if in the middle of your problems you could start talking about how wonderful Jesus is and how he's promised you, and think about all the things he's already done for you, and looking for it, say, I know this is going to pass. I know this is nothing. I know he's holy. I know it's going to work. Wouldn't that be great? You say, but Lord, how can you do that? Watch. We stumbled onto something here. We have a blessing that I don't know too many people that enjoy this. Verse 28. For all the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. He rules everything, including your boss, including whatever ails you. He's the governor of it all. Instead, you say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, and you make your flesh the governor. 29, and all they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. Understand what that means. Without refreshing nourishment for your mind, as long as you keep feeding your soul, I can't, this isn't going to work, I'm ugly, nobody loves me, I'm not going to make it, and all this, your soul is dying little by little. The more it dies, the more your body takes over. The more your body takes over, one day you and your body are going to realize your body doesn't know how. and it's going to take drugs and machines to do for you what your soul used to do for you without you even thinking about it. Verse 30, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, for he hath done this. Isn't that amazing that the Lord would speak that way in spite of the fact that look at the circumstances that he's under at the time. Look at what he's going through. And now in Psalms 22, God is speaking on the cross. And he's saying, in spite of everything, in spite of what my flesh sees, my spirit sees something else. And I am preparing myself for something now. I've just read to you verse 20, or Psalm 22. Isn't it amazing and coincidental, as some would say, that the very next line in the very next psalm is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What we always preach, what they always preach at funeral services, what they always preach when someone leaves, the dearly departed, as they're called. They're dear, but they ain't departed. They're here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So what is Jesus saying in the very next psalm? Not only am I trusting him on the cross as soon as I give up the ghost and go to hell for 3 days for you, Rube, I want you to know, Rube, and I want the devil to know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. This is a man that's on the verge of going to hell for 3 days for you and I. He restoreth my soul. Yes, the soul was going there for 3 days. He said, he's restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He said, even in death, I still trust God. And who said, Job, I believe, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And you fold up like a cheap rug over anything and everything. Oh, my kids. Oh, my God. Sometimes, I just, Lord, just once, let me give them a holy slap. No, Rube, it's a holy kiss. Thank you, Lord. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Even in hell you're going to feed me. Even in hell you're going to take care of me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Can you hear what he's saying? I'm going to be happiest. Man, I'm going to be in hell and my cup runneth over. I trust you completely. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if Jesus Christ, in the odds, facing what he was facing, saying, yes, I died in the flesh, I'm put to death in the flesh, I see what's going on, but I'm quickened by the Spirit. And he said, I am not going to say that, I'm going to say this. And he came out victorious, just like he wants you to. But you see, your blood's looking for the same thing. You say, oh, I've got a cold. Well, and then, well, that means I can't go to work now. Got to stay home now. I just can't. The blood says, well, I thought we were supposed to fight. No, can't go to work now. You lazy pig, you just didn't want to go to work. Oh, I can't go to work now. What's the matter? I'm sick. Can't go to school. I'm sick. No, you didn't do your homework. You're so damn far behind, it's not even funny. You think I don't know that? You think that eventually it isn't going to be exposed what the problem is? But see, your blood's waiting and saying, we got to fight this off. You have ministering spirits, angels, sent by God, just waiting for your command. God said, I could have called 12 legions of angels. They were just waiting to come to my defense. Well, if Jesus has 12 legions of angels, then so do I, because God is no respecter of persons. The problem is, you never call him. Oh, no, this is too much for you. I got a pain here and I got this. 12 legions of angels of the Almighty Living God can't solve your problem? When the host of hell, if they could have kept Jesus in hell, if they could have won that battle and held him there, everybody would have gone to hell. And Satan would have been victorious. And he couldn't do it. With all his host, he couldn't do it. And you're trying to tell me that the God that saved the most precious one, Jesus, from the onslaught of the enemy, can't come up with your puny little problem? I don't think so. There is no way on this God's earth. Understand now what's happening. You're reprogramming your entire system, your immunity system, your blood. You're deprogramming it so that it doesn't work right, so that nothing functions properly. And all it was is because you insist on speaking what the flesh says and being put to death in the flesh and never being quickened by the Spirit. God never asked you to lie. I tell him, Lord, this doesn't look good. Lord, it's been 2 weeks now and I haven't had any money. And looking at it, it looks like there isn't going to be any. Oh, Lord, but I know I have trusted you before. You never have let me down. I never went without anything. And now, back on top again. And in the meantime, when the money wasn't coming in, people all over that owed me all of a sudden decided they needed to pay me. And they did. In fact, I got a long distance call tonight. Another promise. It's in the mail. And I thought, yeah, I've heard that one before. The mail, they put it in because they've owed me this money for 3, 4, 5 years. I've lost track. I thought, man, it must have been coming by Pony Express, by a one-legged horse that was blind and walked in circles, because it's been a long time. And you know what they said? You know, they said, you never have once asked me for this. You never have once mentioned it. He says, and I've never been able to get that out of my mind. He says, now I want you to know, not only am I sending it back to you, they're sending me a book, a gift. He says, I want you to know how much I appreciate that you never asked me for them. And it's not $15 or $20. It's in the hundreds of dollars. I almost told them, you don't know how much interest I've collected on that. You have no idea how much interest I have collected on those puny few hundreds that you've got. I said, no, hold your peace. They might put it on a different kind of, you know, they might send it by carrier pigeon or something. Just let it come. If it's in the mail, let it come. But you see, all in all, if you trust the Lord, let the Spirit quicken, say the right thing. The assessment is proper, but follow it up with what God says, not just with what your flesh says. It's going to be a big change in your life. And it'll begin internally. You're going to see a vibrance, an energy, because your blood will be strong. It'll be doing its job. And then when your blood is healthy, you're going to see how you're going to think differently. You're going to start reading and say, my God, no, so no wonder this guy can see all these. This isn't a gift just for me. It comes from clean blood. A mind bathed in clean blood can see things and understand things you never would have seen or heard before. And I know I've been reading this book a long time. And the more I clean up my system, the more I learn. And the more amazing it is. And you say, how does this guy learn this? I'll tell you, very simple. It's the same book I've been reading all along. The only thing that's changed, I've changed my diet, I've changed my way of living, and I've started acting like the blood of Christ without even realizing it. And look at all the changes that are happening. And we ain't even there yet. Boy, eye has not seen and ear hath not heard what God has prepared for those that love him. And look how nice and wonderful this is, and we haven't scratched the surface yet. We got a long way to go. But in the meantime, I'm going in style. I'm going with all the comforts of home. And the next one's going to have a rear bedroom in it, by the way. Maybe king size, I don't know. Full basement with a jacuzzi. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Brother Sherman, would you close the service in prayer?